What's up, fam, and welcome to the Healthy Fit and Pain-Free Podcast. This podcast is meant to give you easy, implementable, no BS advice to help make you stronger, more resilient, and bring out your inner badass to help you get back doing the things you love with the people you love. I am your host, Dr. Tyler Bordick. I am a physical therapist, a strength conditioning coach, and co-owner of Inner Strength Physio Fitness Athletics in Pittsburgh. If you're ready, jump on the bus, buckle in, and let's rock and roll. What is going on, everyone, and welcome to the Healthy Fit and Pain-Free Podcast. I am your host, Doc T, and we're here with episode 92, everybody. We're getting so close. 92. For those of you who are new to the Healthy Fit and Pain-Free Podcast, I am here as your host to give you easily implementable, actionable, no BS advice on your health, your fitness, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, other aspects of life to help you get back to doing all the crazy and great things that you want to do with all the crazy and great people in your lives. So, without further ado, today we're going to do another question a day. So, this is a little reminder that for any of you out there who have any burning questions that you want me to answer, just please feel free to reach out to me afterwards. You'll find out all the ways you can reach out to me, whether on Instagram, Facebook, what have you, and just shoot me a message. Shoot me a text, and any burning questions that you might have, I would be glad to answer them. I love doing these episodes. A lot of the conversations I have with our members is just there's so much BS out there. There's so much stuff out there, so much that bogs people down, makes them confused, and I just want to kind of clear that up. So, without further ado, this is a big one. This question is one that I do answer every year. So if you go back through the archives here, you will definitely find me answering this question. But I would really hope that every time I answer this question, I have a little extra wisdom, a little extra knowledge to bring to the table. And I do. This one will be different than last year. So without further ado, question of the day number 13 is how to approach my health and fitness goals while on vacation. Again, how to approach my health and fitness goals while on vacation. This one was asked me by Jackie, one of our members. Awesome, I love her. I love all my members, throw that out there. But Jackie asked me this, and I love this question because really vacation is all about joy, fun, reducing stress, and I give kudos to everybody who goes on vacation or goes away or travels, or even for travels for business, and still wants to stick to their fitness, their health and fitness goals. So I want to give you that implementable advice today. To do that, we are going to cover four areas. So these four areas are going to include activity and exercise, diet, hydration, and mood. Okay, this last one's a little bit of a curveball there because honestly, when it comes to going on vacation, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. It's all about, again, reducing your stress, feeling better, being around the people that you love, hopefully. I know some vacations are not the most enjoyable, but being around the people you love, doing things you don't typically get to do, not feeling in a hurry, and honestly just enjoying the entire day and decompressing. So I'm going to give you areas, these four areas, to help you achieve that, and so you can have some of the best vacations of your life. Without further ado, area number one, activity slash exercise. Now, you don't have to work out while you're on vacation. However, there's some things that come into play here. For one, and now address a little bit in mood, is that people tend to, some people that go on vacation, they're like, I don't even want to think about exercise. I don't even want to think about diet. I just want to do my thing. And you know what? More power to you. Mad respect. If that's you on vacation, cool. Go be you. I'm not going to sit here and make you feel guilty or make you feel like an underachiever. I completely respect that opinion. However, you have the opposite end. There are some people that when they go on vacation, it's like, I want to keep doing all the things that I do. That's cool. However, if by doing that, you're going to stress yourself out and not actually enjoy your vacation, then you also really need to consider that consequence. So, like, I used to be that way. Whenever I used to go on vacation, I still work out every day when I go on a vacation. But I used to be very anal about it, to where when I would go on vacation, I would have to have a hard workout every day, and that typically meant me going to a gym. Which, back then, if I didn't get home till 11 in the morning or 12, or noon, it wasn't that big of a deal necessarily. However, I did kind of burn half my day just trying to go to the gym. Now that we have a son, that's a little different. First off, I don't want my wife or family members that I don't want to make them feel obligated to watch Rhett while we're gone. But it's also just the fact that I want to be around my family while we're on vacation. So that's the one thing. First, you got to assess that. Now that we assess that, here are my big things when it comes to activity slash exercise on vacation. For one, you should do something active daily. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to guilt trip you into going for a 5 mile run or finding your local Gold Gym or whatever. But what I am saying is that when people go on vacation and they just sit around and are sedentary the entire time and don't really do anything, that's okay. However, I don't know how, like, that doesn't really contribute to our mood. That doesn't provide happiness. It doesn't really make us feel great. People like to be active. People like to walk. That's why people go to Europe. They like to walk around and see new sights. So this is what you need to do. Plus, obviously a lot of beauty there. But when you go on vacation, do something active every day. Try to get your 10,000 steps in every get your 10,000 steps in every day. You need to do these things because you need to stay active because you're going to eat more. You're going to drink more potentially. And so you just don't need to be active. Going on vacation does not give you excuse to be lazy and sedentary, because that's bad for your health anyhow. So just do something active. That being said too, I do challenge you, especially if you want to keep your health and fitness, if you're not the one person on the end who's like, I don't even want to think about exercise or diet while I'm on vacation, do at least two intense workouts during a week, per week. At least two. Two to four is a great area to kind of assess there, but at least two. For one, this is going to help you from losing anything. Now, I'm going to attack this subject later about do you actually lose anything while on vacation as far as strength, your capacity, your conditioning, all that stuff. But this does help to limit any loss. This also helps to maintain. So if you're someone who you got really beach ready or you lost a lot of weight so you could look good and wear a certain dress stuff on vacation, by doing these or wearing a certain shirt or a certain outfit, maybe you're going out to eat or maybe you're getting pictures and you want to look what good for those pictures, these two intense workouts are going to help maintain that. It's going to keep that neural stimulation of the muscle. It's going to keep the water and keep the content within the muscles, keep you looking, as we talked about two episodes ago, keeps you looking quote unquote toned. And so those workouts are also going to help you with that. Also, hate to say it, but that's true. Doing those two workouts is also going to make you not feel guilty, because at least you got those two big workouts in. And again, that's going to help to kind of keep your body in a little bit of a conditioned state that you achieved before going on vacation, without going over the top. Two workouts a week is not going to be that hard to get. However, with this, if you decide not to do two workouts, or even if you do, my last challenge for you, not to be redundant with this word here, but do something challenging. So, for instance, when we're in Colorado, I think I talked about this last time, the time before, or last time. When we were in Colorado, the group of guys that we went with, the gym business guys, about 75% of us did the Manitou incline. And this thing is probably, like I said on the other podcast, other than my triathlon, my marathon, and my bodybuilding competition, just because they were longer processes, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. And yes, from an activity standpoint, I burn a crap ton of calories. My heart rate was jacked up the entire time. It was a great workout. It ended up being a 3 to 4 hour workout once we were done with the hiking down the mountain, everything afterwards. But the accomplishment that people felt when they reached that peak was so awesome. And it's a story to keep telling. The view from the top. Same thing when we went to Myrtle Beach and I surfed. Now, this sounds funny, but surfing, there's a lot of exertion that goes into it. I burned some calories out there in the water. For once, you're fighting the waves the whole time, because at that point, that was whenever the bad storms and the gigantic waves were just starting along the coast. So we were battling that, and then obviously you're getting tanked by the waves the entire time. You're doing things you're not used to doing. So yeah, maybe to a surfer, someone who's surfed for years, it's not really, doesn't require a lot of energy, but for someone who's new, it does. So this can kind of be an intense activity. Find something challenging to do. Do a hike. Do some, go horseback riding. Try surfing. Whatever. Try a new activity. Because again, you kind of get the best of both worlds. Get a little bit of that intense activity, but you also got to do something new and you have that experience to share with others. Because honestly, and this is going to come later on with the mood, vacation is really about experiences to continue to reminisce on, share with others. And if you just sit on the beach the entire time and don't do anything, you don't really get that. Now, again, if that's your thing, if that's what you want to do, cool. For me, I hate the beach. I hate just sitting on the beach all day, so it's not mine. All right, that was activity and exercise. Number two, diet. This is a big one, obviously. So there's a few methods that you can do when you go on vacation, and I don't want to sit here and say that I have thought of all of this. I will definitely bring my good buddy Andrew Wade, who is the owner of Cape Specific Nutrition, a great dietitian company I've talked about before. Him and I have had this conversation, so a lot of his wisdom is definitely brought into this, but I'm stealing it for the moment, so sorry, Andrew. A couple methods you can do when you go on vacation. So the one that he recommends a lot to people is where you do a two-meal day. So you do a semi-fasting, intermittent fasting of a day. So what you can do is you can wake up and maybe get your workout in somewhat earlier in the morning or whatever. And then towards that like brunch time, that 11 o'clock-ish to noon time, you can have your first meal. A decent brunch meal. Don't go like over the top to where you feel like crap the rest of the day. But you can have a decent brunch meal. Now, you don't eat anything else for the rest of the day until you go to dinner later. Then you can have a good dinner later. Now, this doesn't include throughout the day. You can have a protein shake. You can have some alcoholic beverages. That's fine. But as far as big meals, you only have that brunch and that dinner. And what that's going to do is it's going to allow your digestive system enough time, again, to process, digest everything. You're giving your body that little bit of a fasted stage so it can kind of like get back to equilibrium with everything going on. And then with some alcohol, you do have things going into the system, I guess. But you're not like making yourself feel super bloated, over the top, anything like that. While I'm on this topic with alcohol, so what people don't understand when it comes to alcohol is that alcohol does not actually turn to fat. It can. Alcohol can definitely be turned into fat, but it takes a lot. And your body will typically not do that because your body wants to get it out of it. It wants to expend it as soon as possible. So when you go on vacation, people like to think that I got fat on vacation because of all that I drank. No. That's not what happened. Your body will try to digest alcohol first. So it means everything else. So like, let's say you go out to eat and you have 10 drinks. That's a lot. Hey, let's say you have 8 drinks when you go out to eat along with all the food you ate. Your body's going to try to digest that alcohol first before it tries to digest anything else. Whatever else is left over, that is what's going to turn to fat. So keep that in mind. That when you go on vacation, it's not necessarily that. And honestly, it's not. You don't get fatter when you're on vacation typically. Typically, it's just water weight gain. And we'll talk about that here in a second. So, again, just saying. With the alcohol, that's how to look at it. Again, that doesn't give you permission to binge, but it gives you an idea. All right, so we talked about two meals a day. The other thing that you can do is intermittent fast. So let's say you're that type that you could go throughout the morning, just have a couple cups of coffee and some water and be okay. Cool. Maybe you can go till like noon, 2 o'clock before you have your first meal. So that's something you can think about here. You can consider doing like an intermittent fasting because you can do it, but it's really tough to eat 2,000 calories in one meal. So keep that in mind. With this as well, also understand that there are electrolytes that come into play here. And we'll talk about this in hydration. And this is where the fasting style, whether you do two meals a day or the intermittent fasting, electrolytes are a thing. So for instance, for me, so Andrew and I tried, whenever I went to Myrtle Beach, we tried this whole two meal fasting thing for myself. Because of how my body carries water and because of how quickly it deals with electrolytes, the two meal a day thing for me was atrocious. It did not work out well at all. It threw off my electrolytes. It's the same thing like I'll do 2 days of fast, 24-hour fast per week if I'm trying to just maintain my leanness. And those days I really have to be careful because it throws off my electrolytes greatly. And I even throw a lot of electrolytes into my system during those days, but it's just you're not eating anything. I drink a lot of water, so I'm just constantly expending things. And so because it throws off your hydration, what you have to understand is if you do these fasting days and you drink alcohol, alcohol is just going to expend that much more of your electrolytes, which is going to really contribute to problems later. So this is where that intermittent fasting, if you're someone who you do enjoy a few drinks on vacation, if you do this intermittent fasting approach, it could definitely mess with you. Same thing with the two meals too. So just something to keep in mind. Again, I'm not saying these are the rules to follow, but this gives you your own personalized approach. And that's what I want with all four of these areas. Give you your own personalized approach so that you can enjoy your vacation yet still not feel like you came back a bloated, hot, fat mess. Okay. The other method, this is the other thing you can do while you're on vacation diet-wise, is small meals. So just having small meals throughout the day, grazing a little bit if you will. Now, when I say this, what I mean is you are not snacking all day. So this does not mean you wake up, you have coffee and a donut, and then later on you have some crackers and chips, and then later on you have a small lunch, and then later on you pull out the pretzels because now you've had a couple drinks in your system, and then, yeah. No. That's not what I mean by this. What I mean by small meals is actually having small meals. So let's say you wake up, and let's say you did work out. You get your workout in right off the bat. Now you have, let's say, some egg whites and a bagel. And then later on, maybe you have some fruit and some cottage cheese. And then later on, maybe you have a little lunch. And then later on, maybe you have a protein shake. And then you have your dinner after that. So just enough to where you don't feel starved, or you don't feel hungry, but you're not overdoing it. You're not eating so much. Now, this approach gets weird for people because, again, depending on how busy you are, depending on what activities you have planned, if you are having drink stuff like that, small meals can get a little bit tedious for people. So you can kind of split this up however you want. If you want to have six little meals per day, cool. If you want to have four meals per day, cool. Whatever works best for you. But that's just obviously the other method. The reason being I say splitting these up into 4 to 6 meals, though, is so that you don't eat in between them. You want to have an alcoholic beverage or something, okay? But that is the rule is you have the meals, you do not snack. Because that is what throws you over the edge. It's when people have meals, but then they get bored on vacation or they're not doing anything with their hands. So they start snacking. And then that's where you accumulate the salt, that's where you'll accumulate the calories, and that's where people feel like it kind of pushes them over the edge. All right, so two possible methods. Two meals per day, intermittent fasting, or smaller meals. Again, this is for those of you who are trying to maintain their fitness on vacation. or even still improve their fitness on vacation. This is not for you who are at the one end of the spectrum. I'm not guilt tripping you that you need to do these. Okay, we brought it up a couple times, so now it's time to hit this one hard. Alcohol. Here's a few rules with alcohol. For one, be wary of mixers. We've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. Be very wary of mixers. Because just so to give you an idea, so a regular pop, regular soda, however, whatever the hell you want to use as a term here, you're looking at around like 50 grams of carbs per one can. So if you use regular pop soda or even like juices or stuff like that, there's a lot of carbs, a lot of sugar thrown in there. So be very wary of what mixers you use. Some people, Jackie and I actually talked about this. She loves to use a Powerade Zero. So you can do something like that. You can use like a Coke Zero, a Pepsi Zero, whatever. Any of the Zero pops out there, you can use that stuff. That's totally fine. Soda water, seltzers, a little bit of hit of lemon, stuff like that's fine. There's electrolytes. For my buddy, for instance, he does a bourbonade or something like that is what he calls it, where he does bourbon with just a little bit of a Crystal Light packet and some liquid IV that he puts in there. You can do that. Whatever. Get creative. Whatever works best for you. But really try to make it to where your mixers are very minimal. While we're on this topic, things like frozen drinks and mixed drinks that you get at a bar, they are super, 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 super high in sugar. So be wary of things like that. So when we're talking about mixed drinks, frozen drinks, some of my go-tos can be something like a mojito. Mojitos are great in the sense of you have mint in there, so it does well on the stomach. You have the hydration from the carbonated water. The only issue, and the lime actually provides some electrolytes, the only issue you run into is it's a simple syrup. If you make your own, you can create your own zero-calorie simple syrup, which works. However, when you go out to eat and go out to bars, you don't really have control of that. So just be wary of frozen drinks. Typically, have a frozen drink. Like, I'm not going to yell at you for it, but just be wary. There's a lot of sugar and stuff in them. All right, this is another one. And this one, I'm going to kind of throw a wrench at you here. So light beer versus regular beer or craft beer. If you're counting calories, the rule of thumb that Andrew always uses with me is 20 grams of carbs per beer, per drink. So like, that's it. Doesn't matter what kind of beer it is. If you have a shot, doesn't matter what shot of liquor it is, 20 grams of carbs, just to kind of like fit it into your macros. However, when it comes to beer, opt in for a regular beer or a craft beer before you do a light beer. Now, some of you, your mind's just exploded, or you're yelling at me through the radio right now, like, what do you mean? You should have light beer. You should go for that Bud Light 64 or whatever. No. No, you should not. Here's why. Ultralight beer typically has very little in it and very little alcohol in it. So if you're just sitting around with friends and you're having one drink just to kind of feel like a part of the bunch, but that's it, you don't really care about the buzz, you don't really care about the alcohol, then sure, having those low-calorie beers is fine. But if you're someone who you're sitting around and you want to have a good night with your friends and you want a little bit of that buzz and you want a good taste, then it's best to go for the regular or the craft beer. And the reason being is because, A, it fills you up faster, so you're not going to go through them as much. And B, it's not going to take as many of those to get you buzzed, to get you to that point of feeling buzzed. So here's a for instance, and I did this test when I was in college. I was in college and I did this test. One night I drank Bud Select 55s, if that's still a thing. So 55 calories. The other night I drank a Straub's at the time, because some of my boys at that time, they were in the Straub at that point, the fire department that I was with, so like I was drinking Straub. Whenever I drank the Bud Light Select 55, I was at a party. At the end of that party, I drank 10 of those. Some of you are like, what? Yeah, I drank 10 of those. Go over to the Straub. So another party I was at, I drank the Straub. By the end of the night, I had 4. So 4 of the Straub versus 5 of the Bud Select 55. Do the math. The Straub was actually less. It was less. It was more enjoyable for me. It was a lot less trips to the cooler. The other part of this too is, and we're going to hit this right into hydration. It's going to be a good segue. When you drink a ton of light beers, what you're doing is, A, you're putting the alcohol in your system, but B, you're putting so much volume in your system as far as liquids that you're going to pee so much more. And eventually what that's going to lead to is massive dehydration, which is what leads to number 3, which number 3 is hydration. Now, this is the thing. If you drink an excessive amount of alcohol, you are going to expend an excessive amount of water. So that's where the dehydration really comes in, because alcohol alcohol does dehydrate you. And then also the excessive water is going to eventually dehydrate you well, because you're not putting things back in your system. So this is why it's very important to have electrolytes throughout the day, especially if you're going to be drinking excessively, especially if you're going to be out in the sun, and also especially if you're going to be in a pool or in the ocean where it's going to pull water away from you. So this is where I actually disagree with a lot of people. And it's, I mean, Andrew and I have kind of like playfully debated about this as well. So there's the whole – people have the rule of whenever you're going to drink, you should drink a glass of water between each alcoholic beverage. I partially disagree with this. And the reason being that is if you are drinking a glass of water between each alcoholic beverage, you are just making your system pee that much more out, which is eventually going to lead to dehydration anyhow. What you need to really focus on is electrolytes. Now, if you're going out to eat, the one electrolyte you do not have to think about is salt. And this is where people don't understand is when you go on vacation, especially if you go on vacation where you go out to eat a lot, you are getting enough salt in your system. So much salt, in fact, that you are going to have water retention, which is going to lead to that weight gain after you come back from vacation. The other electrolytes you really have to think about is going to be your potassium, which is the main one, and then your calcium and your magnesium, which is going to really help with the cramping, like if you have any crampings or stuff like that. So potassium is super important. Obviously, you can throw banana in your system, strawberry, stuff like that. The other thing you can do is you can opt for some sort of electrolyte supplement. So, and I'm sorry to say, like, things like Gatorade and Powerade are not good. Even if you get a Gatorade or a Powerade Zero, there's no calories, but you're still not really getting a ton of potassium with it. So what you can do is you can go for like a Body Armor. However, you have to watch with Body Armor because Body Armor has calories. Another good one that I found is Prime. Prime's a new energy drink and electrolyte. They have energy drinks and electrolyte drinks, so two separate things on the market. Prime also has a lot of potassium in it. So if you're someone like me who whenever you're on vacation and you swell up a lot just from the water retention, getting a drink that has 400 milligrams of potassium in it will be great. Putting two of those in your system throughout the day will really help to limit that water retention, keep your electrolyte balance where it is, and also keep you feeling good. So electrolyte, super important. If you are not going out to eat often, then yes, the salt is still something to think about, especially if you're drinking a ton of alcohol and a ton of other fluids where you're just peeing a lot. Yes, salt is very important because it's going to help to reduce that. Something else is B12. B12 is a big thing that we expend whenever we're drinking excessively. So making sure you're putting a lot of B12 in your system. Vitamin C is also a good thing to throw in your system as well. And then again, make sure you're getting electrolytes. Other electrolytes you can do that I love are things like, not sponsored by them, Liquid IV is a great one, as well as Element, so LMNT. Those are two other really good ones to use. That being said, if we are talking about how much should you drink on vacation as far as water goes, So the daily recommendation is 9 cups of water for women and about 13 cups of water for men. If you're on vacation, I would say really overshoot that and have at least 10 to 15 cups of water per day, at least. Now, if you are active, if you're doing some sort of activity, do more. If you're going to be out in the sun all day, drink more. If you're going to be drinking alcohol, drink more. So at least get 10 to 15. If you're a female, 10 cups. If you're a male, 15 cups. But really, you could even shoot higher than that to where it's like 13 to as high as 20 cups per day, depending on any activity. So really shoot for that. As well as with alcohol, also realize caffeine will expend more fluids. So let's say with your mixers, if you do some sort of like pop, if you have a little afternoon pick-me-up and you have like an energy drink or a coffee or something like that, that's going to contribute. So just being very aware of caffeine and alcohol together and what that can really do as far as dehydrating you and getting and expending fluids. Last but not least, I want to cover this because people really like to look at pee color. And again, going back to what I talked about earlier, if you are drinking an excessive amount of fluid, but that fluid is also alcohol, your system is going to think it's hydrated. So whenever you're peeing, you may still – let's back up for a second. People talk about breaking the seal. Breaking the seal is not actually a thing. It's not actually true. When you break the seal, you have just hit that point where you're drinking so much fluid that your body is now going to pee a lot. And whenever you pee, it's going to be that very light yellow or clear color. So you might be thinking, I'm hydrated. Your body might be thinking, he's hydrated because you're taking so much fluid. But what's actually happening is you're expending so much out because you've tricked the body. And you're not taking enough in, such as electrolytes. So eventually there's going to get to a point, and we've all been there, most of us anyhow. Have you ever had that night where you've been drinking so much and you've peed so much, and eventually you're like hitting that point where you are in the drunk stage, and then you stop peeing? Well, that means that you've hit that point where your body is now at a point of excessive dehydration. However, because you're still drinking, you're going to keep peeing. It's just not going to be as much. So this is where it's very important. The other thing you have to watch with this is right before bed. If you have a night out in the town, try not to come back to your house, your hotel room, whatever, and have an alcoholic beverage and then pass right out. Because A, that's going to disrupt your sleep. B, it's going to make you have to pee even more in the middle of the night. So what you want to do is, while we're on this topic, if you do go out on the town for the night and you come back, or maybe like in your house or your hotel or like you're with your peeps and you stay up excessive amount of time, farther into the night, stay up for like another hour, have a good electrolyte drink, maybe like a protein shake, something like that, just to break up the alcohol in your system a little bit before you go to bed. Because that's going to help to at least reduce the after effects of what we all like to call a hangover. All right, so that covers hydration. Now, on to number 4, which to me is one of the most important things, and that is mood. Why mood? Why are we talking about mood? Well, for one, let's realize that vacation is all about reducing stress. It's about decompressing from either your stressful job, stressful situations in your life, you're getting away from where you live, you're getting away from typical people you're around, and you're allowing yourself that time to just exhale. That being said, if working out is going to cause you to be stressed out because you're trying to get it in, then by all means, do not worry about working out. I do argue that you should be able to work out every day for a half hour and not feel excessively stressed. So let's go there. But if it does, if you don't have a gym, nearby, don't stress out about trying to get to the gym. There's, you know, like here, we give our members a body weight workout where they can easily get their workout in without needing any equipment, maybe some bands that's easily you can easily travel with. So that's one. It's all about getting rid of stress. And if you're getting stressed out trying to get your workout in, then by all means, don't worry about it. The other thing here is that people worry that I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to lose it all. No, that's not what happens. So going back to what we've initially started with activity, the reason being we feel like we lose it all when we go on vacation is, number one, water retention. So excessive salt from going out to eat, excessive salt from the rebound if we have some alcohol or anything like that, our body will gain weight just because of water retention. Rarely do we gain weight from fat. In fact, some people might come back from vacation and actually look better after a week or two because their body is now recharged, replenished, recovered. It's got rid of that excess water, and now they look even better, and your metabolism back up. So, woo, there's a win for you. The other thing here is, so water retention's one. The second thing is, you do lose some muscle tone on vacation, especially if you don't work out at all, because it's just simply that. There's less neurological stimulation to the muscle, so it's not going to look as quote-unquote toned. You're not using your muscles, so all of the water and nutrition stuff that's typically in your muscles is going to leave because it's no longer using it for the moment. And then also, yeah, there's the things of like maybe like with your diet and everything, you're not giving your body what it needs. So it takes it out of whack. It gets it out of balance. Your body just has to overly work to get you back to homeostasis. Well, when you come back, no neurological stimulation. There's not, those resources aren't in your muscles. So you might feel weaker for the first week or two back. However, after a week or two, now that you stimulate those muscles again, there's neurological stimulation, there's resources, there's water in the muscles, your body is back to homeostasis as far as water retention and toxins and all that stuff, you're going to be right back to where you were. So don't ever feel like you're going to lose your gains on vacation, okay? So I want people to get that out of their heads right away. Now, with that being said, as far as stress goes, if working out is going to make you feel less stressed because you're less afraid that you're going to lose your gains, then by all means, get your workouts in. That's why I like to work out, because it just makes me feel better. Exercise to me is a stress relief. So if it's a stress release for you, why would you not do it on vacation where you're trying to relieve stress and decompress? Also, look for on vacation active joy. So doing some sort of, we talked about earlier, you know, do something active every day. Find activity that's going to bring you joy. This could be going for a walk with your grandson. This could be going for a family walk on the beach early in the morning to see the sunset, or sunrise, excuse me, or in the evening to see the sunset. This could be going for a hike if you're somewhere like Colorado where there's beautiful mountain landscapes. Doing something that brings you active joy, because, again, you get the activity, but you're also getting that joy. You're getting that feel of accomplishment, that feel of happiness, because you're experiencing something other than just sitting on the beach all day and doing nothing. Again, if that's your thing, cool. But I think there's arguments to be made otherwise. Something else you can do. If you're someone who loves to read when you're on vacation, yes, it's not the same, but I would recommend an audiobook. Get an audiobook, kind of like a movie in your head, right? And then go for a walk. Every morning, instead of just sitting there in a chair and reading and having your cup of coffee, take that book, get an audio book, grab your cup of coffee, and go for a walk. Whether it's going for a walk on a trail, or going for a walk down the street, or going for a walk on the beach, whatever. Definitely doing an audio book and a walk can be a great thing. If you're someone who's like, well, I like to turn the pages. I get it. I'm like that too. Find a book that is going to be more entertaining to listen to, and not one that you want to really dive into the pages with. Or a podcast. Listen to a podcast. Listen to me. I'm great on vacation. I'm so great on vacation. or music. You know, doing things like that, going for a walk, and just really finding a way to enjoy your surroundings. Also with this is a good time to do things such as positive reflection. People a lot of times go on vacation and don't necessarily, or go on trips, and don't necessarily make the most of it. It's a time where you can decompress. It's a time where you don't have any new stress, hopefully not, coming into your life. So this is time where you can really reflect. Really reflect on what's going on, if you're really into your health and fitness at that point, what's been going well for you, what you want to do better with your family, what's been going well for you, what you want to do better with your job, what's been going well for you, what you want to do better. It's a great time to reflect. And I emphasize positive reflection here. Don't send yourself down a self-criticism wormhole here. For instance, when we went to Myrtle Beach, I took 3 hours one day on Father's Day. That was the only agreement my wife and I had, is like, this is my present for Father's Day. And for 3 hours, I went for a walk on the beach. I went for a walk through the town. And I went to the best local cafe shop. And I sat there for an hour and I did a ton of positive reflection and self-identity reflection. It was one of the greatest moments that I've ever experienced, just because it gained a lot of clarity. So I highly recommend you do that as well. If you want more information on how to do that, just reach out to me. I got some great resources for you for some awesome self-identity. With this too, for good mood, water. Water is super important. I just got done reading a book called Blue Mind. I actually read it when I was at Myrtle Beach. There are so many positive effects of water. A, because we're 65%+ water in our body alone, but because water makes up a lot of the physiological, psychological, hormonal things that happen in our body. So when we're around water, there's a lot of great things that happen. Water really decompresses us. It really brings us into a parasympathetic, which is our rest and digest state. So by doing things such as being in the ocean, you have those natural salt water. You're around those waves. You're feeling the waves crash. If you are laying on the beach, like, this is a great time to meditate because you can hear those waves. Things like surfing, going for swims in pools, stuff like that. Hearing your kids play in the pool. There's a lot of great things that come with water. And so I really emphasize, there's so much research now as far as how it helps to combat dementia, combat depression, improved overall state of happiness, well-being, mental health, all those things. Water is super important for this, so I cannot emphasize enough, get around water as much as you can when you're either on vacation, on a trip, or even just traveling for work. Two other ones. This one is huge to me. So I have one criteria when I go on vacation, and I enforce this heavily. No drama. No drama. My wife and I talked, Nina and I talked about this the other day, and I have a specific rule that if you cause drama when I'm on vacation with you, I will no longer go on vacation with you. You get one strike. That's it. So have that rule. I know that's tough, especially if you go with family, and I will not exclude family from this. If you, and with family, with friends, with whoever, if anyone causes drama and it disrupts your vacation or they bring their problems into your life, then it's time to say bye-bye. I get it. This is a hard one for people. But this is not just vacation. This is life in general. Yes, you have to deal with complicated people. But more times than often, what you need to do is you need to set boundaries. And when you're paying for the vacation too, you're paying for the circumstance too, you're taking time away from work. When you're there, you need to get yourself fully engulfed in, again, decompressing, breathing, parasympathetic, rest, digest, positive vibes, cool experience. Do not let people steal that away from you with their drama. If they do, sayonara, I'll go somewhere else with someone else. Last but not least, alcohol. I want to visit this one more time. People don't understand that what alcohol actually has an effect. So whenever we first have a drink of alcohol, there is a dopamine kick that happens, and we have positive hormones get released in our brain. That's why we feel so good. That's why we enjoy it. The problem that happens, though, is what we don't realize is why we get so affected by a hangover or even later in the night is because eventually we have a dopamine dump, and that's where our feel-good hormones completely take a deep dive. That's why a lot of times people have the Sunday scaries, is because if they go out the night before, Sunday when they wake up, They're a lot more anxious. They're maybe a little bit more depressed. Their mood's not as elevated. They feel like crap. It's because we had that huge feel-good hormone dump after we drank. So I want you to keep this in mind. When you're on vacation, obviously you want to be in a good mood all the time. So if you do drink, realize that if you drink too much, there's a chance that you are going to have that happiness dump the next day, and you're going to feel like crap, and you're not going to be as happy. This is typically why the first two things that people do after a night of drinking, or like what they want to do, is A, eat crappy food, because our body craves that, and we want that instant gratification. But B, some might even just reach for another drink to help them, you know, hair the dog, right? Get yourself out of that mindset. So just be wary of this too, is that alcohol will cause, especially if you're someone who's prone to anxiety and depression, alcohol and caffeine can really mess with you there. So just be wary of that. All right, let's bring us up out of that little mood dump here. So we talked about the four areas. We talked about activity. We talked about diet. We talked about hydration. We talked about mood. Now let's talk about actionables. As you all know, I love to end episodes with actionables because that's what truly matters. So, actionable number one, make an active itinerary. Some of you out there just completely rolled your eyes at me. Make an active itinerary. I'm not saying that you need to have a spreadsheet of every waking minute when you go on vacation, but before you go on vacation, if you're on a flight, you can do this on the flight, or if you're driving, you can do this while you're driving. Create on paper, in your phone, whatever, when you're going to be active and what days. Are you going to go to the gym twice a week? Figure out what those days are. Are you going to go for excessive walks on the beach? What are those days? If you're going to go for hikes, if you're going to go for maybe go do a lesson in this or that, have those days planned out, or at least know that you're going to do them and hold yourself accountable to those. Just because, again, if they're in the schedule, that means you're going to do them, get them done, get them out of the way, and then you don't have to worry about them. And then when you come back, you can say, every day I did some form of exercise, which is way better than what most people do. Number two, hydrate excessively. Like I said, you should be having at least those 10 to 15 cups per day, but I would say probably even more than that, 13 to 18 cups per day, 13 for women, 18 for men. If you're active, maybe a little bit more. If you're drinking alcohol, a little bit more, but making sure it's electrolytes. Again, we're looking more towards the potassium, magnesium, calcium part of the electrolyte equation, especially if you go out to eat a lot. But if you're not really going out to eat that much and you're not using that much salt, then putting a little bit of salt helps as well. Last but not least, don't sweat what you quote unquote may lose. So, when you go on vacation, realize that your quote unquote loss, it's really just water retention. It is reduced tone from things leaving the muscle. Again, that's if you're not working out. And it will come back when you come back to work out. But the best way to limit that is two intense workouts per week. Try to stay active every day. Challenge yourself to do something while you're away. And honestly, realize what vacation is truly about. It's about decompressing. It's about getting yourself out of your typical element, about getting yourself out of your typical stressful situation. And it's about being around the people you love. Guys, thank you so much. If you are going on vacation after this, great. You have some great tools. If you've already went on vacation, hey, you have some ideas in your mind for if you decide to plan a vacation here in a couple months or so. Again, if you guys have any other questions that you want me to do a question a day for, please reach out to me. And until then, have a great summer. We'll see you next time. Thank you all for checking out this week's episode of the Healthy Fit and Pain-Free Podcast. If you would like more content that is easily implementable and no BS, you can join our Facebook page at Healthy Fit and Pain-Free Podcast. To learn more about Inner Strength, visit our website at innerstrengthpgh.com, or you can simply email us at info@innerstrengthpgh.com. We have two locations in Pittsburgh right now. One is our west location in Coriopolis/Robinson, PA, and our second location, which just recently opened, is in the south in Lawrence, PA, in the southern part of Pittsburgh. We also partner up with Case Pacific Nutrition. They are a locally owned business full of dietitians, registered credentialed dietitians who can help you with just general nutrition, sports needs, and also medical information. You can also contact me at dr.tyler@innerstrengthpgh.com or check me out on social media at dr.tyler_Bordick. Thank you all again. We'll see you on next week's episode.